across Asia and the Pacific. This is Radio Australia.
Yeah, it's really interesting because polio is one of those conditions that, you know, we're just on the edge of eradicating it. And it's one of those things that with a huge, just not too much of an effort, and this is what I thought it would be a good topic to talk about today. It's been around for a long time, and my understanding is that there's still cases in particularly places like India and Pakistan. Mm. And so, but it's one of those diseases that we can actually eradicate, and we've almost been there. So I thought it'd be good to talk about this with someone who's involved in trying to, you know, get rid of a disease from the face of the planet.
Absolutely. And we are joined now by Michael Sheldrick. He's the manager of the End of Polio campaign with the Global Poverty Project. Michael, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on your program.
Absolutely. So, as Dr. Ron was saying, this is a disease that we can eradicate, but there have been a lot of problems with it almost coming back, especially in India and Pakistan. I remember reading this story last year where there are a lot of Muslim people in the north of India who were concerned that, I mean, they were having these vaccine drives for things like polio and rubella, and they were concerned that it was actually misinformation, that they were actually trying to sterilise them. And as a result, they didn't take their children to this vaccination drive, and thousands of people missed out on getting their polio vaccinations. And as a result, they have more and more incidences of it coming back.
Mm. Yeah, look, that's something that certainly gets raised quite frequently. I guess what I will say to that is, the number of instances where religion actually is the problem is very rare and infrequent, and I would say quite over exaggerated. And I would even say that, you know, it's not religion itself is the problem. I mean, yes, it's true that 95% of the regions in the world where polio remains endemic happen to be Muslim countries and Muslim communities, but I would say that that's more to do, the fact it's endemic in those countries is more to do with the fact that, you know, you're speaking about the most vulnerable remote regions in the world. These are, you know, very vulnerable remote communities, and I would say that that's more of a barrier rather than anything to do with religion.
In terms of polio generally, can you just explain to people who may not have heard of it or not aware of it, what it actually is and what it does?
Yeah, polio is quite a serious disease. It's an infectious disease, and it's spread in the same way that gastroenteritis is. So it's, you know, oral fecal transmission. And the symptoms can really vary from people. Sometimes it's quite mild, even they might not even realise that they've had it.
Okay.
But in a sort of very small percentage of people, it can have an incredibly life-threatening condition where people get the paralysis that people are aware of. So, you know, usually I think it's within a few weeks, up to about 21 days you get the symptoms, something like that.
And
are infectious, quite infectious for 7 to 10 days before that time.
Right.
Around, it's really serious when it can affect the nervous system. That's the real issue. And, you know, and the dreadful thing about it is that it's completely preventable. It's very simple to prevent and cheap, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, very cheap. You know, at the moment we're talking about the total cost of the global eradication program, which might sound like a lot, but when you compare it to, you know, other big government expenditure programs, you know, the total cost is $1.8 billion over the next 2 years to entirely eradicate it. You know, it's not a lot of money when you put it in perspective. And when you put in the benefits, you know, this is something that over time will save between $40 to $50 billion in vaccination costs, you know, as we go.
Yes, because I think people understand is that there are only some diseases that are like from a biological point of view that are suitable for eradication, and polio is one of these because it only really affects humans.
Yes.
We know how it's transmitted. We've got a completely effective vaccine. And so once you get rid of it totally from the human population, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
That's great.
Which is just amazing. And we're just on the edge because there are a whole lot of factors which prevent that final eradication from occurring.
We are talking health with Dr. Ron McCoy and Michael Sheldrick, who's the manager of the End of Polio campaign with the Global Poverty Project. You're listening to Radio Australia. Just a quick news update. The US Geological Survey says a magnitude 6.2 earthquake has struck Vanuatu. It says the quake happened 77 kilometres southwest of Port Vila and 221 kilometres southwest of Is Angel. The quake occurred at a depth of 10 kilometres. So we'll keep you updated on that. More details when we get them. So do keep listening here to Radio Australia. As I said, we're talking health today. We're talking polio. And Dr. Ron, you were just saying that it's so possible to eradicate this.
And I think but the thing is, we know the biology, but like these things, a lot of the factors are social. And that's where the work of people like Michael is so important. And Michael, I just wondered if you'd be able to talk about what are some of those factors that actually that prevent us from being able to, you know, eradicate this this polio.
Yeah, well, you are absolutely right in that we are very close and so close. And, you know, we've reduced, since 1988, we've reduced the number of cases by 99% from a total of 125 endemic countries down to just 4 and 350,000 cases of polio per year to just over 1,000 last year. But, you know, there are a couple of challenges, and it's always hard with that last 1%. I guess, you know, a group of medical experts back in June released a report, and they said that the biggest factor is actually the funding gap. The work of the body that leads eradication efforts, the Global Polio Eradication Initiative, is currently limited by US $590 million gap in its budget, and that's the biggest barrier. I guess another factor is, you know, if you look at the countries where this remains endemic, countries like Afghanistan and Pakistan, it's no surprise that, you know, conflict, whilst it's not the cause, it's the polio virus that's the cause. Mm. You know, there's no denying that conflict can prevent vaccination teams from reaching every child, providing the opportunity for polio to spread. So that's another, obviously, important barrier or factor that needs to, you know, hampers eradication efforts.
Even if we did get to that point where we did say, yes, this has been eradicated, how long would we need to continue giving people polio vaccinations? For example, I don't know, in Australia, do we still give them?
Absolutely. We get, as a combined vaccine, we get an injectable. Michael, just I'm displaying my ignorance here. Is Sabin still used in places like India, Pakistan and Afghanistan?
That's right. So there's two viruses. So there's the Salk vaccine, which was
the vaccine. Sorry, two vaccines, Salk. People. Yeah.
Yeah. There's the, and that's the injectable one. Mm. And then in 1961, Albert Sabin developed the oral polio vaccine. And just because of its, you know, it's obviously a lot easier to roll out and cheaper in administration costs.
Yes.
The oral polio vaccine is the one which is used throughout most of the world in terms of eradication efforts.
Yeah, I think people are understanding this, that because one of them is injectable, and countries like Australia, when we give combined vaccines to children, so we just include it in that. But when you're talking about these countries, you know, to actually the cost of actually having injecting materials and you know, making sure they're clean and the training involved is quite
sterile,
huge. But as opposed to just putting a couple of drops under the tongue, which is just absolutely amazing. So this is where it's really easy to administer. That's another thing that really supports the eradication.
But in answer to the question of, you know, how long will it take after you know, transmission has stopped around the world, I was having a conversation with the acting director of polio eradication at the World Health Organization a couple of weeks back, Chris Maher, and he said that, you know, if we end transmission, hopefully within the next 18 months to 2 years, it probably, providing everything goes well, we can expect to have certification of a polio-free world within 5 to 6 years after that. So we're looking at around 2017-18 in terms of being able to say that the world is polio-free.
So after we get the last case, we wait for, say, 5 to 6 years.
Yeah, and routine immunisation, these sorts of things, will have to continue because, of course, you could end up with a situation like Indonesia, which was the last indigenous case of polio in Indonesia was 1995, but then in 2005 there was a massive outbreak there which paralysed and even killed approximately 300 people. So we do have to remain vigilant, absolutely.
And the other thing is about that, the question is, after it's certified, what do we do with the stocks of poliovirus that we have in the labs? Do we destroy them? And I noticed there was a resolution recently. You would know all about that, that made a resolution to work out what they'll do in a few years' time. Like, they didn't actually make a decision, did they?
No, they haven't yet, but that's certainly one thing which is under consideration because, of course, you know, particularly the oral polio vaccine obviously has a weakened or stunned virus as part of it. And one of the challenges is to have a totally polio-free world is to look at, you know, basically stopping the use of that vaccine at a point in time.
So you destroy even everything in the labs. Mm. It's like, that's gone, it's finished now.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And because we've had this issue too with smallpox.
Yes.
Because exactly.
Yeah. Smallpox can also, there's been concerns that it can be used as a biological warfare weapon, you see. So there's a whole lot of politics around it, less so much with polio. So, you know, I think it's one of those things that I personally would hope that as soon as it's certified that everything gets destroyed. You know?
Who's in charge of those decisions? Who does that? Who's the big world body that says, okay, that's it, polio, now we destroy this?
Well, ultimately, I mean, the Global Polio Eradication Initiative is an organisation made up of four incredible organisations. You've got Rotary International, who themselves have just... I've met many Rotarians amongst this campaign, and they're just incredible in the amount of energy they have for this effort. And you've got the World Health Organisation, you've got UNICEF, and then you've got the US Centre for Diseases Control and Prevention. So they together are responsible for eradication. But I guess ultimately... The body or the institution that's mandated for a polio-free world is really all the member states of the World Health Assembly. I mean, they were ones together in 1988 that voted a resolution for a polio-free world. So ultimately, it's, you know, all the member states, including Australia, that I guess is responsible for these decisions.
Have there been cases recently in Australia? I mean, does it still come up as a little pocket or anything like that? Does that ever happen?
The last case in Australia, I mean, the last Indigenous case was in 1972, but from time to time, you know, we do get the odd case. The last case was actually a Pakistani student in Melbourne who returned to Pakistan for a holiday. And when he came back, he was found to have contracted polio in 2007. So that was the last case of imported polio.
When you say Indigenous, so it's literally somebody catching it in Australia?
Because the thing is, it's like, for example, give you an example, measles in Australia is pretty well gone, but most of it occurs in return travellers. Do you understand? Right. So we talk about cases arising within the country, local person-to-person transmission as opposed to introduced. But, and this is what Michael's saying, particularly with Indonesia, why it's really important that once there's still the potential for introduced cases. This is why it's important to maintain the vaccination. I mean, to misquote General MacArthur, the price of prevention is eternal vigilance, isn't it, Michael?
Exactly. And one of the reasons why in 2007 that one case didn't lead to a big outbreak is because obviously, you know, our doctors here were able to identify the symptoms, able to contain it. And because of, you know, we continue up our immunisation levels, which is why it's important, it didn't break out into something bigger than that. Which is why, you know, Bill Gates often says that polio anywhere is a threat everywhere, and he's absolutely right. And
absolutely.
We definitely need to keep up our immunisation levels until this thing's eradicated for good.
We're talking health with Dr. Ron McCoy and Michael Sheldrick, who's the manager of the End of Polio campaign with the Global Poverty Project. One of the things that's been, not sort of widespread talking about in Australia, but a lot of people have been talking about the fact that immunisation can cause all these other things, and there is a bit of a movement for people not to immunise their children.
Mm.
And that could, obviously, in this case, really affect...
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that we're always battling all the time, because, see, if there was one single thing that's really improved the health of the whole world... If I had to say one thing, it would be immunisation.
Yes.
Or two things, immunisation and sewerage.
Yeah.
But, you know,
those
two things are the two biggest things that have impacted upon the health of the world. And it's interesting, people have these ideas, and quite often, once there's an outbreak, then all the unimmunised people often go and get immunised. I think it's really important that, you know, in a society we respect that it's a parent's responsibility to decide for the children. But the immunisation's a bit different because if that child's not immunised, they actually become a potential reservoir of infection.
Yes.
So it's not like it's just, you're not choosing just on behalf of yourself. You're choosing on behalf of the whole world.
Mm.
Because you could still have that
responsibility.
Yeah, and that's why. And you know, when I think about it from an ethical point of view, I actually think from just my personal belief is that if there's an immunisation for a disease that I'm, you know, at risk at, I actually feel that it's my personal responsibility to become immunised, and that's I can only just stand up because you know people will respect that right, but it's a real issue.
I mean, Ron, if you look at it like this, I mean, yes, there are chances of, you know, those small, very risks occurring, but if you look at polio, since 1988, we've vaccinated over 2 billion children, which is estimated to have saved up to 500 million children from, you know, the dangerous symptoms of polio. So I think when you put these things in perspective, you know, the benefits far outweigh the costs, I think.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree, but I think there are some people who remain to be convinced despite the overwhelming evidence, and that's what I find as challenging as a healthcare provider. I mean, I totally agree with you, but it's how do you do? I know, for example, sometimes personally, and you might have seen this sort of thing, I've sometimes spoken in the media about the importance of immunisation, and all of a sudden my name goes over anti-vaccination websites and you get nasty emails and the whole thing. And I've known, like, I know a woman who was a producer of a show, looked at the anti-immunisation and she got death threats and the whole thing.
Wow.
So, you know, there's this vocal, extraordinarily small minority for some reason who think that we're all part of conspiracy theories. But, you know, it's...
There is a lot of, I mean, people have been saying all sorts of things, like it causes autism, it causes all these other things.
Yeah, which is just, you know, it's rubbish. There's no evidence, absolutely no evidence. The evidence, as Michael was saying, is overwhelming that these things are safe, that they save lives, and it's responsible for, particularly when we're talking about children. Because, Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, that polio, I told you about how it affects, some people can have no symptoms and some people get severe. The major group that affects is children under the age of five, isn't it?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're talking about children, giving them a good start in life. And once you start getting health problems in children and differences between the, you know, poor health and bad health, those differences not only tend to remain over life, they tend to actually increase. So because they have poorer health and they're less likely to get good education, so they're less likely to get better jobs, and those inequalities improve. So if you really want to improve the benefit of people in the world, if you want to get major bang for your buck, give it to the children, because you can narrow that difference and you're giving the best chance in the world.
And Ron, this is what we say all the time. You know, there's always discussion about our aid budget. You know, Australia at the moment has a rapidly increasing aid budget, which will go from $4 billion this year to around $8 to $9 billion in 4 years' time. And we say there's nothing more that then demonstrates the life-changing impact that our aid dollars can have than supporting initiatives such as vaccines and immunizations, in terms of making sure that taxpayers get the best value for money.
Yeah, I totally agree.
No, that's
bang for buck. Couldn't agree more.
Absolutely.
Couldn't agree more.
Oh, well, look, I appreciate both of you joining us today and giving us some wonderful insight into that terrible disease. But, you know, with a bit of will and with people like you, Michael, we can certainly get rid of it.
If I could just put in a bit of a plug, we're obviously, I mentioned before the funding gap that's hampering these efforts at the moment.
How do we get involved?
Well, we're looking to build the public support. We're calling on the Australian government to contribute up to $50 million and for world leaders to plug this funding gap of $590 million. And I ask if people are looking to show their support, they can sign our online petition at www.theendofpolio.com.
Theendofpolio.com. Michael, thank you very much for joining us. It's Michael Sheldrick, manager of the End of Polio campaign with the Global Poverty Project. And as always, Dr. Ron McCoy, thank you very much for joining us.
Radio Australia, on air and online at radioaustralia.net.au.